What's happening to our country these days? Is your Christian faith and even your religious freedom under siege, under attack by the government? Recently, I was disturbed to learn that a highly successful company owned and operated by a Christian family may be forced out of business due to their Christian beliefs. The company is Hobby Lobby, arts and crafts store chain with 515 stores in 41 states. And this is the founder and CEO of Hobby Lobby. His name is David Green. Let me read to you a part of a letter that Mr. Green wrote to USA Today a few weeks ago. He says, "We're Christians, and we run our business on Christian principles. I've always said that the first two goals of our business are, one, to run our business in harmony with God's laws, and two, to focus on people more than money. And that's what we've tried to do. We close early so our employees can see their families at night. We keep our stores closed on Sundays, one of the week's biggest shopping days, so that our workers and their families can enjoy a day of rest. We believe that it's by God's grace that Hobby Lobby has endured, and He has blessed us and our employees. We've not only added jobs in a weak economy, we've also raised wages for the past 4 years in a row. All our full-time employees start 80% above minimum wage. But now, our government threatens to change all of that. A new government health care mandate says that our family business must provide what I believe are abortion-causing drugs as part of our health care insurance. Being Christians, we don't pay for drugs that might cause abortions, which means that we don't cover emergency contraceptive, the morning after pill, or the week after pill. We believe doing so might end a life after the moment of conception, something that is contrary to our most basic beliefs. It goes against the biblical principles on which we have run this company since day one. If we refuse to comply, we could face $1.3 million per day in government fines." That's just part of his letter. And I think it's appalling. But actually, it's only a tip of the iceberg symptom of a much deeper and bigger problem. Our country is sliding downward off of the mountain of our Judeo-Christian heritage and founding principles into a hellhole of cultural rot, monster-sized government, unsustainable debt, and anti-religious intolerance. There's even talk now of limiting or eliminating our tax deductions for charitable giving. This is done in the name of closing loopholes. And I've heard that if this actually ends up happening, religious charities, charity organizations could lose $7 billion a year in contributions. And you know, a lot of these loopholes are supposedly aimed at the rich. But who is it that benefits from charities, folks? It's not the rich. This is the kind of thing that's going on. Christian ministries will suffer, not to mention people losing their jobs. I am deeply troubled about the direction of our country. You've heard talk of the fiscal cliff that we're racing toward. There's Wile E. Coyote going off the cliff. As bad as that is, what's worse is the root cause, the moral and the spiritual cliff that it seems like we're walking off of blindly. Our nation's leaders seem to be asleep at the wheel, along with most of the U.S. population. It's as though, I told the membership the other night, it's as though we're on the Titanic, and yet people are just partying and polishing the rails while the ship sinks deeper into the darkness. I'm deeply troubled. But get this. A recent poll says 82% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. 82%! And 40%, these I guess we would call evangelicals, say they have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, hey, that really sounds awesome. That sounds exciting. That sounds great. But there seems to be a huge disconnect here. Do you get it? If that's really true, why is the country flushing itself? If 82% of the population is Christian, or let's just take the 40%, why do survey after survey show that the lifestyle of the typical Christian is indistinguishable from that of the non-Christian? That there doesn't seem to be any difference. The church is called to transform society, folks. But instead, our society, in many cases, is transforming the church. It's all happening backward. What's the problem? Well, we could talk a long time about root causes and these kinds of things, but one of the major parts of it, I'm convinced, is that there's a real confusion about what it means to be a Christ follower. If I drop two Alka-Seltzer tablets into water, instantly, there's going to be a reaction. You're going to see some fizzing and some bubbles, and the composition of that water is going to change. No doubt about it. But if I drop those tablets into the water and just nothing happens, they just sit there like two buttons thrown into the water, what do I conclude? Something's wrong. Maybe it isn't really Alka-Seltzer that got thrown in there. Maybe something's happened to it. Maybe it isn't the real thing. Well, folks, it's the same with Christianity. You drop some true Christ followers into a rotting world, and there's going to be fireworks, and good fireworks. Good things are going to happen. Something's wrong. I'm talking about in our country with our brand of Christianity. By and large, it isn't real. It isn't genuine. The right words might be there and the right trappings, but it's just not happening. There isn't the Alka-Seltzer effect. Are you sufficiently depressed now? Well, I hope not, really. Because despite all of this bad news, how many know that there's good news? Truly good news. There is genuine, and I'm not just pumping sunshine here, folks. There is really hope for the future. You know, back in the early days of the church, Christians were outnumbered big time, astronomically in the Roman Empire. I mean, they were using Christians to light up places as torches. They would set them on fire. They would throw them to the lions. I mean, these people had it really hard. And yet, as time went on, Christianity won over the Roman Empire. They influenced the whole thing. And eventually, it became the official religion of the Roman Empire. This has happened time and time again throughout the centuries. Christianity has made a huge impact in transforming society, and it can happen here again in the United States. If the church really possesses the power through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, the power is not in us, that is in and of ourselves, folks. It is the power of God. And if we really possess this power to transform society, then the tide still can change. It's not too late. The answer is not at the ballot box. Well, that plays a role. But that's not the answer, folks. The answer is Jesus Christ and His church. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ's church possesses enormous power to transform society. We really and truly can make a difference in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, and collectively in our nation. As the darkness grows darker, we need to shine brighter. Brighter than ever before. The church needs to rediscover what it means to really be the church, to be the salt and light, as I spoke about a few weeks ago, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But to do that, we have to follow Jesus for real. Not just for fun, not just for show, but for real. What can we here at Stony Creek Church do? You know, I've seen the Holy Spirit Alka-Seltzer bubbling and fizzing and working here at Stony Creek Church in you for years. I've seen it. I know it's here. I'm just so privileged to be a part of this body and to lead it. But what more can we do? I thank God for the many generous, dedicated, hardworking, committed followers of Jesus Christ here at Stony Creek Church. But what can we do to improve? And even more importantly, to change the world around us. There's got to be more that we can do. Well, that brings us to the title of today's message, Not a Jesus Fan. Not a Jesus fan. A fan is an enthusiastic admirer. But a follower of Jesus is more. And I'm not just talking about following Jesus on Twitter. We're talking about following Jesus the way Jesus described it. A few months ago, I asked our leaders here at Stony Creek Church, what is it that Stony needs now? What is it that God wants to do in this body in the coming year? And we spent some time thinking about that and praying about that individually and as a leadership team. We spent a lot of time talking about it. And as we pondered that question over the multiple meetings, a basic theme began to emerge. Somehow, we need to address the gap that exists between being a follower, that's, you know, the Alka-Seltzer just fizzing away and doing its thing, the way Jesus originally described it, the gap between that and being a fan, just a fan of Jesus, just saying yeah or amen or yeah, I'm a Christian, or answering yes, you know, on the quiz question. We have to address that change, that gap between follower and fan. You know, I noticed that Jesus faced this very issue in his ministry. This is nothing new, folks. And he addressed it head on. You know, today's message is a little different than typical. Usually we're analyzing a text pretty carefully. But I want to take a look at this passage in Luke chapter 9. It's printed on your outline, and it's also up on the screen. And I'd like to read it, and when we come to the yellow print, that's your cue to follow along with me out loud, okay? Luke chapter 9, we pick up in verse 57. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Whoa! Heavy alert! That really sounds, that just blows me out of the water, doesn't it, you? Jesus sounds radical here, even a little cranky. If you're like me, your mind instantly tries to retranslate his responses here to what he really means, right? We wince, we squirm, and we want to tone his words down. We think, you know, I hope that person sitting over there a couple seats away from me who looks like he's new, I've never seen him before, I hope he knows that Jesus wasn't always this rude and cold-hearted sounding and so uncompromising. I hope he knows that. I hope he knows that Jesus also said a lot of other really nice things. And there were days when Jesus was really in a good mood, and he said lots of loving stuff too. And I hope Randy explains this and reassures us so that we can all take a nice big sigh of relief and realize that Jesus just really didn't mean this. It's just a bad day for him. Trouble is, Jesus had a habit of talking this way. How many know from reading the Gospels? Jesus had a habit of talking this way. We meet three men in this passage, each of whom aspires to be a Christ follower. And in each case, the man either offers to follow Jesus or Jesus asks him to follow him. Now, you would think that Jesus would roll out the red carpet to these guys. I mean, hey, they look like good recruits to me. Enthusiastic, eager. But in each case, Jesus' comeback is shockingly unaccommodating, uncompromising, very seeker-unfriendly. You know, in a future message, I want to examine this incident in greater detail. But today, I only want to draw attention to one undeniable point, and that is our main idea today. The one thing you should remember if you forget everything else I say, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. Helps you to remember it. It goes like this. The true Christ follower is all in. The true Christ follower is all in. Now, I get the distinct impression from this passage that Jesus prefers no commitment over a half-hearted religious show. We know that Jesus loves everyone. We know that Jesus wants to save everyone. We know that he died on the cross for our sins and arose from the dead. That is the extent of his enormous love for us. He really does want us to sign up. And yet, he's got this thing about him. He just refuses to lower the bar of commitment so that any old commitment will do. Mm-mm. It's all or nothing. Jesus welcomes everyone. Doesn't matter. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, or how long your rap sheet may be, he welcomes you. Old or young, pretty or ugly, fat or skinny, dumb or smart, Democrat or Republican, gay or straight, black or white or red or yellow or whatever your color may be, Jesus loves you and he welcomes you. But there's only one thing that he asks. Just one thing that he asks of you. And that is everything. Just one thing, everything. He wants followers, not just fans. You say, well, oh, man, that's pretty heavy. Well, what should we do about it? What should we do about the fan versus follower gap? Well, let me share with you very briefly part of the strategy that the elders and the staff, after much prayer, have come up with. This January, Stony Creek Church will launch into a church-wide 7-week campaign called Not a Fan. It will involve our 11 o'clock services. It will involve our youth classes and our bridge class. And it will involve, most of all, our small groups. We will begin using the concept and materials offered by Kyle Eidelman. His book, Not a Fan, is kind of the launching point of this. He's a gifted pastor of a large church in Kentucky. The idea of this campaign is to challenge us to really examine, am I just a fan or am I a true follower? And also to bring in outsiders so that they might learn what it means to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's all about the difference between being a fan versus being a follower. Starting on Sunday morning, January 27th at 11 o'clock, I'll begin our Not a Fan series. And we're going to look at the ministry of Jesus and what it means to really be a follower of Jesus. Meanwhile, our small groups will begin meeting every week for 7 consecutive weeks using a specially designed, highly creative video curriculum. Now, folks, the small group experience is the heart and soul of this. It's the bread and butter. This is where the rubber really meets the road. On Sundays, that's going to be, I'm going to give it all I got and preach the word, and man, we're going to just give it all. But it's in the small group where you're really going to deal with these issues and come to grips with them. And so I want to give you a taste of the curriculum that we're going to be using in the small group setting. So let's have a look at that.
And we need to take it out of the young people we don't know. Think of the
Good stuff, folks. The small group study revolves around the story of this man and his family. They provide the real-life illustration for the Bible study that you go through in the small group. For this study, we will be challenged to re-examine our relationship with Jesus and to readjust our priorities accordingly. And more importantly, if there could be anything more important than that, we need to swing open our doors and bring in others who don't know Jesus. Now, I know we have a lot of very dedicated followers here at Stony. We need to spread that out. We need to spread the wealth. We need to bring in others. Our goal is to form a whole bunch of new small groups during this campaign, to actually double the number of groups that we currently have running here at Stony Creek Church, going from 15, that's what we have now, to 30. My goal is to see every adult who regularly attends Stony Creek Church in one of these not-a-fan small groups going through this curriculum. And not only that, but bringing another person as well. Not just inviting, but bringing along, either to the small group or to the Sunday or both. To do this, we're going to need 15 new small group hosts. Now, if you're not already hosting or leading a small group, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you this morning about hosting and facilitating a group at your home for just the 7 weeks of this campaign. You don't have to be a pastor or, you know, a real studious Christian or have tons of Bible knowledge or anything. All you need is a DVD player, a nice home to meet, and to just be a friendly person and, you know, facilitate a discussion. The curriculum does the work for you. Now, maybe you're wondering, geez, is this really worth my time? Well, don't just take my word for it. Right now, I want to introduce to you Rick and Kathy Horn. I'm going to ask them to come up here. If you're here last Sunday, you know they just became members of Stony Creek Church. And today I'm already putting them to work. I'm going to ask them to come up here, come on guys, and share with us for just a few minutes about their experience with this material. We asked them to preview it, and they did, and they're going to tell us about it here today. Let's make sure, oh, you have a microphone, good.
Thank you. As he said, we're Rick and Kathy Horn.
And just so you're sure of it, Kathy's the blind, and I'm not quite so blind.
But you're getting lighter. Anyway, we are new to Stony Creek, very pleased to be here, very blessed. And we became members, as he said, a couple of weeks ago. We've been attending since March. I think we all have a journey that we can talk about how we came to Christ. Some of us came as children. We've known Christ our whole lives. We don't know anything else. Some of us came as adults. Some of us are still questioning and wondering, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And what does that look like in our life? How does that play out?
Well, a few months back, Randy happened to mention in one of his sermons the book, Not a Fan. Well, the title intrigued me. I said, how could someone not be a fan of Jesus? I mean, he's God, right? I mean, I like him on Facebook, right? I think a lot of you do. We're fans. So I said, that book sounds interesting. Well, then magically it appeared on our coffee table one day. Kathy must have had a coupon or it must have been a sale or something. But one day I come home and here's the book sitting on the coffee table, where it sat for the following 3 weeks collecting dust. I would dust around it every now and then. But then we had our membership process, and we had our interview with Andy Barba, and he mentioned, again, this book. Well, I'm a guy, so I'm kind of dense. But when something, you know, when Jesus really wants to get my attention, two or three times I start to get a feel like, okay, are you trying to tell me something here, Lord, and what should I do about it? So that next morning, I decided, well, I'm going to pick up this book and read the first chapter or two, just kind of get a feel for what it's about. I sat down that morning. Kathy came home from work that night. I was still sitting in the chair finishing up the last chapter of the book. I read straight through in one sitting. That book was very powerful. I laughed at parts of it. I cried during parts of it. All I can say is God used that book to really touch my heart and to tell me something I need to hear and to make me commit to want to be a part of this program. There's a verse in the book, and I don't know the exact quote of it, so just bear with me on it, but basically it's a bunch of people show up at the pearly gates, and they're at the throne of Jesus, and they said, Lord, you know, we drove out demons in your name, and we healed people in your name, and we brought people to you. And you know what Jesus tells them? Depart from me. I don't know you. And that's kind of the heart of this book, fan or follower.
Well, the book made its way to my nightstand, which is Rick's subtle way of saying you need to read this. And as wives tend to do, I ignored it for a while. So the book made its way to next to my dinner plate one day. And Rick was so contagious and excited about this book, I thought, all right, I'm going to read it. In the next couple of days, I did read the book, and I was blown away. The author has a real gift for presenting this story realistically, things that you can really relate to in your life. And so when we saw Andy a few days later, we said we'd be very interested in leading a group for this wonderful series. We have found from experience that when you lead a group like this, with the materials already provided, all you have to do is open your door, let the people and the Holy Spirit in, and the materials do all the work. So we knew that it would be exciting. Plus, bonus, you get the leader's guide, which is, you know, kind of like the bonus, when you get a DVD, you get the bonus tracks. It's kind of like that. You get the leader's guide. So we told him we wanted to do this. So Andy gave us a copy of the DVD that you saw a clip of, and Rick and I sat down one night with a big bowl of popcorn, and we watched the entire thing from beginning to end. Now, luckily for you, when you go through the series, you'll only do one segment every night, because after watching the whole thing through, I was a puddle on the floor. It is so impactful. It touches your heartstrings, it makes you laugh, and it makes you ask the hard questions.
In past churches we've been involved with, I've been a small group director, small group leader, and small group coach. And I've probably led 70 different groups over the years. Now, I'm not saying that to say, look at me, what I did. I'm saying because I want you to understand the importance of this next statement I'm about to make. Of all the groups I've led and all the materials I've used, I can say without a doubt, this is the greatest one I have ever experienced in my life. The greatest one. And I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to get people to sign up for this to make Randy look good, to say, hey, we got 99% participation in the church. No, I'm saying this because I really believe in this material, and I believe it is the best one we've ever seen. I really believe that it's going to challenge you, no matter where you are in life. If you're a seeker, if you're a fan, if you're a follower, if you're a pastor even, it's going to hit you where you live, and it's going to make you ask the hard questions of your life, and actually look at your life in a hard way, saying, am I really following Jesus the way I should be? Now, many studies can be boring. You know, they'll tell you, read this paragraph, and then we read this verse, and they give you a multiple choice question. It's kind of like obvious, you know. What type of animal do you have in your home? A lion, an elephant, a cat? See, a cat. But, you know, this isn't like this. There is no, it's all open-ended questions. It's God talking directly to your heart. It's Jesus looking into your heart and saying, I want to know, are you following me, or are you just a fan? Many of us learn different ways. I'm a visual learner myself. Some of us learn by listening. Some learn by reading. This study brings all those elements together. So no matter who you are or how you learn, I think it's going to impact you deeply. I think you'll like to invite all your friends to it. I think it's something you won't be ashamed to show them. The quality of this video is very well done. It's not like some of the cheesy ones we've seen in the past, if you've ever seen some of those. But it's non-threatening, but hard-hitting in the impact it'll give you. And no matter where you are in your spiritual walk, what I found in viewing the materials was this. I saw the Rick I used to be. I saw the Rick I am now. And I saw the Rick I want to be, all but through this material.
I know that you're going to find this to be life-changing. And when you add the dimension of the small group interaction, it can only get better. All I've seen personally are the materials, but I know the beauty of the small group and the blessing of the small group is the interaction that occurs. You don't want to be that guy that you have to say you had to be there to understand it. You want to be involved, and you want to know what we're talking about and what we're discussing. So I urge you to consider to participate and maybe even lead a group for the first time. As I said, you'll get that bonus leader's guide. And verse Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. This is a great way to work out that life verse. So I want to leave you with an illustration to help put this in perspective. I have a ball of string here. And I'm going to ask Rick to go all the way back with the ball with the string. And I could have him keep going and going all the way out into Van Dyke and beyond, but he'd probably go to Wendy's and not come back. So I'm going to ask him to stop back there. Yeah. Okay, this string represents eternity. And, of course, it's longer than this string. As I said, we're just doing this for demonstration purposes. And this sticky dot is your life. Okay, so this dot represents your life in the scheme of eternity. And if I took a pen and I made a tiny little dot on there, that would represent the 7 sessions, 11 hours of this study. In my mind, that's a very small investment for your life to impact eternity and the Savior that offers you that eternity. I don't know if you've seen the news lately, but that Facebook clip shows you that the world and our country is living for this dot. And we encourage you to live beyond that because the Savior offers us so much more than that. God doesn't just think you're great. He thinks you're to die for. So I encourage you. You can come back. We encourage you to get involved in this series, to see what everybody's talking about, to listen to Jesus. It will have a profound effect on your life. And I'm going to ask you this most important question, which is more important than who you're going to marry, what house you're going to live in, what job you're going to take. The question, those questions relate to the dot. The question I'm going to ask you relates to eternity. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Mm. Come and find out.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Great job. Well, we have, I have a lot of plans for these two. They have, Rick was a pastor of a church before coming here, and he's been involved in a lot of ministry. And these two have had a marriage ministry that is just out of this world. And they're going to be picking that up and doing that here, working with couples that are on their way to getting married and other things too. So great. The book that they mentioned, Not a Fan, is definitely worth picking up and looking into if you're curious about this and wondering if this is really worth jumping into. Let me just give you some closing bullet points before we close up the service and have our closing offering song and so forth. How to make the most of this Not a Fan thing. I wrote some points there for you to write down on your outline. One is attend the service, the Sunday series, beginning on January 27th at 11 o'clock. This is just the bare minimal thing. You do this, at least, at the very least, do this. Secondly, get one new person to attend this series. Notice I didn't say just invite one person. I said get one. Usually, to get one person, you usually have to make at least three invites, right? And so try to invite them to come to your study that you're involved in, or at least to come on Sunday morning. Another thing, sign up for a Not a Fan small group. You can do that even today by saying, hey, I'm in. I want to be in a small group. Maybe you're not in a small group now. Write that on your response card or see Andy Barba. Andy, where'd you go? Where are you? Andy's right here. Also, consider hosting a Not a Fan small group at your home. You don't have to have any experience at having done this before. Again, if you're interested and you'd like more detail, talk with Andy. And then finally, switch from being a fan, if that's what you are, that's what you realize you are now, to being a follower. And the way you do that is by repenting of your sin and putting your trust in Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose from the dead. If you'd like to learn more about this, come on down right here. We have our pastoral prayer team ready to assist you on this side of the stage. All right? We're going to close our service now, and let's have a word of prayer for our offering, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for showing how much you love us. We know we live in a dark world. We're so glad we have the light of the world in Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that as we contemplate Not a Fan, that we would switch from being fans to followers, if that's what we've been. And Lord, to get all in this series, and let's make the most of this, Father. Please help and encourage us. Help that person who's wondering, is this really worth my time? Lord, for that person to make a significant step forward in his or her journey. And Father, we pray you'd bless this offering. May it be an act of worship. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.